Chav Beis Amid Aleph, halfway down the page. If you see on the left side, there's a tesis that begins with the word Loi Mekablin Minayu, even with that in the Gemara. Okay, this Gemara is a little bit easier than what we were learning the other weeks, because those are much more complicated Gemaras. Basically, the Gemara discussed just to get everybody up to date. The Gemara was discussing there are strictnesses for Hegdish, for the Beis HaMikdash, that Truma doesn't have. In other words, you could be more lenient by Truma than you could be by Hegdish. And one of the cases that the Gemara is in the middle of discussing is if you immerse a vessel in a vessel. And the Mishnah said, for Truma it's good, but not for Hegdish. And the Gemara had two reasons. There was Rava's reason and Rabbi Loi's reason. One of them said the reason is because when you have two vessels touching each other, so the water won't get in between the two vessels. So therefore, it's going to be what's called a chatzitza. It's a separation between the water and the vessel, so it's not going to be good. And the other opinion says, no, that's not a problem, because the water will get in between. The reason why you cannot immerse a vessel in a vessel for Hegdish is because we're afraid you might end up immersing needles and hooks, which are tiny, in a vessel that doesn't have an opening of Shfeferes Haneid. And Shfeferes Haneid, the Gemara explained it to me on top of the page, which is two fingers that you can move around. And that, like we discussed last week, is what connects one mikveh to the next mikveh, to make it all one mikveh. So we're afraid that if you're going to table things in a keli, with a guy might table a needle in a vessel that doesn't have an opening of Shefaretz HaNeid, and then basically he's not going to be able to have a kosher immersion. That's what the Gemara was discussing up to now. Okay? So now the Gemara says, the machlek is v'hod Rav v'Rabbi Loi. This argument between Rav and Rabbi Loi is Tanoi, really an argument of Tanoim. Meaning, what the reason is why you can't immerse a vessel in a vessel, whether it is because of chatzitza, or whether it's because of you might come to table needles, shferes haneid. And by the way, the Gemara said before, what's the difference between them halachically? Halachically, the difference would be if you table things in an open basket. See, because over there we're not afraid people will come to do the of a chatzitza or the other thing. So now the Gemara says, this din of Rav Rabbi Loi is Tanoi, is really an argument of Tanoi, meaning it's an earlier argument. The Tanya, because we learned in a Braisa, Salve Gagusni. If somebody filled a basket or a large strainer, Shemilam kem, that you filled up with vessels with Bilam and you tabled them, Bein Lekedish, Bein Letruma Tehaden. Whether it's for Hegdish, whether it's for Truma, the immersion is good if it's a big basket. Abba Shol Eimer, Abba Shol says, Loi Lekedish, but not for Hegdish. Meaning, the first opinion in the Mishnah, in the Braisa, says, this immersion is good under all circumstances. Okay? Why? Because here we're not afraid you might table something in something that's too small, because this is an open basket. It's a big basket, it's a big opening. He's not afraid of it. But if you're afraid of chatzitza, then the concept of chatzitza would still apply. Abba Shol says that you can do it not for Kedush. Okay? Why? So he says, like we said before, Rava is explanation of the Tanakama. Rava said it was because of chatzitza. Therefore, the Tanakama holds in a big basket, there's no chatzitza, because the water does get all over the place. But if you're afraid, they might table it in a keli where there is no size of shveres haneid, then you're going to have a problem. So the Gemara asks as follows. Ihachi, if that's the case, Truma Nami, the same problem should be for Truma. Why do you say for Truma you could immerse it? Why aren't you afraid of Truma? That also, it says in the Braith, Abba Shol said like this, for Hegdish it's good, but not for Truma. So the question is, if he's afraid that it's not going to be good because of Chatzitza, then for Truma it also shouldn't be good. Why is it good for one and not the other? If it's no good, it should be good. No good for both. So the Gemara says like this. Okay, let's just.
If it is what? Good or no good, kli betoch kli, right? Is it? He's saying kli betoch kli. One of them is fine, and for the other one is not fine.
Let's straighten it out. Let's explain this. The people shouldn't be lost. A vessel and a vessel, the Mishnah said, you could table things for Truma, but not for Hegdish. Okay, and the Mishnah said, that's a strictness of Hegdish over Truma. Okay, now the Gemara says, why can't you? So, one reason of the Gemara said, the first reason of the Gemara was because of Chatzitza. What's the concept with Chatzitza? When you table put a pot in a pot, okay, there's a place where both pots are touching. Especially when water goes into the top pot, it's going to weigh it down, it's going to touch the bottom pot. If it's going to touch the bottom pot, you can have an area which is touching each other, the water will not get in there. Right? And if a mikveh water doesn't get everywhere, it's no good. A person who goes to the mikveh needs to have every part of his body immersed in the water. If you have a hair, one hair, sticking out of the water, your immersion is worthless. Okay? Just to get a practical level, you want to table dishes in the mikveh. If you have a sticker at the bottom of the pot, made in China, yeah? So that sticker does not allow the water of the mikveh to get in the pot that's underneath the sticker. So what happens? The whole pot is not immersed in the water. It's not a kosher tefillah. So the Gemara says, for truma it's good. For hegdish, we're not done yet with the Gemara. For truma it's good. For hegdish it's not good. That's one reason the Gemara gave. That was Rav Eloy's reason. Rava gave a second reason. Why can't you table a keli and a keli? Really, it shouldn't be a problem. But what are we afraid of? That sometimes, if a guy sees you table a vessel and a vessel, he's going to immerse needles in a small, tiny little pot that doesn't have a hole big enough that connects the water inside the pot to the mikveh, and it's not going to be a kosher. In other words, this itself would be a kosher immersion. A pot in a pot. We're afraid a guy might end up tabling needles in a small little cup that doesn't have opening shveris and aid, and they're going to think it's good. Okay? So that was Rav's reason.
First case.
So 1 second. So the Gemara says, what's the difference between the two cases? The Gemara says, what's the halachic difference between the two cases? So the Gemara says, if you have a big basket or a large strainer, meaning, if you hold the reason is because of chatzitza of separation, because they're going to touch one another, even if it's a big basket, things inside the basket are still going to be touching each other. Right? So it's not going to be good. If you're afraid, the reason you can't table it because you might not have a wide opening, but in the case we have a big opening of a basket, a large opening of a basket, people are not going to come to make that mistake. What?
So the first opinion seems to say like it's the raita because of a chatzitza, but the second one is just like a takana or something.
It's possible. We're going to get to see that later in the Gemara, yeah.
Also would be the same by...
So, 1 second. So the Gemara says, this argument between Rava and Rav Ilo, what the reason is, with the halachic difference between them about a basket... That if you hold it's chatzitza reason, then even in a basket they're going to be touching each other. Right? Take a net and load it up with kalim. Yeah? It's going to be touching the bottom of the net. Right? And that area which is touching is not going to get immersed in the water because the net or the basket is blocking it. If you hold, the reason is because a guy might come to think you can table something in a little hole. This is a big hole. He's not going to come to think it. So the Gemara says, we taka see it in a brisa. The brisa says, what happens if you fill up a basket, a big basket, with kalim? Is it a good immersion or not? So the first opinion says it's not good. I'm sorry, it's good. Bein lo kedush, bein lo truma, it's good. Why? Because they hold the reason is because it's only a takana. What's a takana? A guy may table something in a small opening, but this is a very big opening. So the chachamim hold you can table it in such a thing. It's not a problem. Even hegdish you can table like that. Abishol says you can't do it for hegdish. For truma, yes, not for hegdish. Why not? Because it's afraid of a chatzitza. Right? So the Gemara asks, if the reason is because of chatzitza, truma nami, then even for truma it shouldn't be a good immersion. If we're afraid of chatzitza that is being blocked, so why for truma is it a good immersion? Meaning, it's a fact. Is it a chatzitza or isn't it a chatzitza? Can water get in there? Then it should be good for everything. If water can't get in there, it shouldn't be good for anything. So what is it? So the Gemara explains, Leman Karminin, who are you talking about? Chaverim, to scholars. Chaverim made the yada, they know the laws of immersion. Meaning as follows. You know why for truma it's good? Because who cares about these dinim? Not the illiterates. The scholars are the ones that care about it. They know the halachos of immersion. So they're going to know that you can do it. And they're going to know when you could do it. So right away the Gemara asks back, Ihachi kedish nami. So do it for hegdish. The Gemara is asking a very simple question. We're saying, see, if you talk about takana, we're afraid somebody might do something wrong. So by hegdish, it makes more sense to be strict than by truma. Because hegdish is stricter than truma. So it makes sense. But if you're talking, like you said, a biblical law of chatzitza, so if it's good for truma, it should be good for kedush. If it's not good for kedush, then it shouldn't be good for truma either. So the Gemara answers, you know why it's good for truma? Because we're talking about scholars, and scholars know the law. So the Gemara says, so then hegdish, we're also talking about scholars, and they also know the law. So what's the...
What is truma?
Truma is what you give to a kohen. Not tithing, but you give 1 out of 50. You give...
Example, what do you give to the
when you grow wheat in a field, when you harvest the wheat, you give the coin 1/50.
That's all the truma is?
That's it. That's all truma is.
And this truma became tummy.
The kalim became tummy, whatever. So the question is, the Gemara is asking a very simple thing. Is it a chatzitza or is it not a chatzitza? If it's not a chatzitza, it should be good for truma and kedush. If it is a chatzitza, then it shouldn't be good for either. So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about chaverim. Right, chaverim, the scholars. So then the Gemara says, well, by kedush, we're also talking about scholars. So the Gemara answers an interesting thing. Chazel le'lam ha'aretz v'ozel matbil. And the Gemara, let me just tell you before, and the Gemara's leading up to. It's a very simple Gemara over here, by the way. The Gemara is saying, Truma deals more with scholars, and Hegdish, everybody brings Hegdish. And we don't want to start up with Hegdish with the illiterates. Because if you get them angry, they're going to make their own temple. They're going to make their own bama and do their own thing.
Who will? The Kayanim?
The illiterates.
The illiterates?
Yeah.
They make their own show, in other words.
Yeah. Don't break away.
Break around show, yeah.
So the Gemara is going to say a very interesting concept. Truma, who cares about Truma? The Gemara is going to ask and answer a bunch of that. But who cares about the laws of purity and impurity? The scholars care more than the illiterates. But if you don't let an illiterate give truma to a scholar because we're afraid it's tameh, you know what? He'll give it to a kohen who's another illiterate. You're not going to get the illiterate angry because if the scholar kohen won't accept it, he'll give it to a friend of his who's illiterate who will accept it. Comes to Beis HaMikdash, there's no illiterates in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, the scholars, they know what they're doing. So if you don't accept it and you make him impure, and the vessel's impure, he's going to say, the heck with this whole thing, I'll make my own temple. So therefore we give in to them and we make it easier. We're going to see what the Gemara is saying. What?
I don't understand why, with the Chatzitza thing, why would it make a difference if it's for a scholar? The scholar also can't put it in the basket, right?
But the scholar will know not to do it. Meaning, the scholar, any time he borrows a vessel from an illiterate, he's going to immerse it in the mikveh anyway properly. That's what Gemara is going to explain soon. The scholar, because they knew that the illiterates were not as careful as they were in the laws, either because they didn't know or they didn't care. So whenever a scholar would borrow a vessel from an illiterate for Terumah, he would immerse it in the mikveh. So the Gemara says, so for Terumah, we'll say to the Amar, it's okay, it's fine. Why would he afraid of? A scholar is going to borrow it, he's going to table it anyway.
Learn somewhere that if you borrow a vessel from your neighbor and if it's not totaled, it's okay to use it.
No, if you borrow a vessel from a guy, not from a Jew.
Are you kidding?
In other words, the food doesn't become treif.
Even from a Jew that did not travel his
food's not treif.
Right. I'm saying
the question is, can you put it in the keli or can you eat it from the vessel? But the food is not treif. Right? If you borrow a vessel from a goy, you don't have to immerse it in the mikveh. If you borrow something from a Jew and it wasn't put into the mikveh and you want to use it, then you have to immerse it in the mikveh. But there's another thing. What happens if you come to somebody's house who doesn't immerse their vessels in the mikveh, and they bring you a cold soda in a glass? Can you drink it or not? That's a different issue, which you could be lenient in. You understand? But if I borrow another Jew's, let's say you didn't immerse your dishes in the mikveh, and I want to borrow your glass to use, I have to put it in the mikveh first if it wasn't mikveh'd yet.
Unless you use it only once?
No, it's no such a thing.
If you go to his house and you drink a glass of water?
That's because it's not your glass. The shaila, you have a chiv to table it. You're not borrowing the glass. Mm-hmm. If a guy gives you a drink in a glass, you're borrowing the glass? You're borrowing, it's his glass. You're borrowing it.
Yeah.
The question is it your obligation to table or is his obligation? He filled it up, you didn't fill it up. I mean, so...
What about a glass bottle of juice or wine, whatever? After you pour the contents out, you want to use it for something else in the house.
Then you have to table it.
You have to table it?
Yeah.
Even if you want to use it just one more time?
Yeah.
What about those...
We're not talking about mikveh now. I mean, we're talking about mikveh, but not the dishes. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if the case is that the Chavedim know, okay, it's okay, the Shnami, then Hegdish should be the same way. Okay? So the Gemara says like this, Chazalei Ama'adit, what's going to be in the case of Hegdish? If you see that you can immerse a vessel in a vessel by Hegdish, so the illiterate, the Ma'aris, is going to see him doing it, and V'azu Matpil, and he's going to do it himself. If he sees you let a scholar do it, then he's going to go do it himself. So the Gemara says, then by Truma it should be the same problem. If he's going to see a person do it by Truma, he's going to also learn and go ahead and do it. He Truma Nami Chazul Ma'aris. The Amaritz will see the Azul Matpil, and then he'll go immerse vessels in the vessels, and then you're not allowed to eat it either. So Gemara says, no, let me kabla minei. He says, the scholar will never accept it, truma, like this, from an Amaritz. Because a chavet knows, let me explain to you something, truma, which is tummy, you can't eat. Okay, there's a big punishment if you eat truma that's tummy. Now, if an Amaretz is going to bring a Kohen scholar. Truma, he's not going to take it. Why? Because as far as the Chavir is concerned, the guy, it's probably Tomei. Because they weren't so careful in it. And if he's not careful, why should the Chavir take it? So the Gemara's question is, what are we afraid of? That the Amoritz might do it for the Chavir. The Chavir is never going to take it from an Amoritz. So the Gemara says, so Kedush Nami Lod Nekabla Minei. So the same thing, don't accept Kedush from the Amoritz either. If you're not going to accept Truma, don't accept Hagdish either. So the Gemara says, you can't do that. Chaz Yileva, they're going to get angry. The Amoritz is going to get angry at the Chavir, at the scholar for not accepting his Hagdish.
Rabbi, are you, when you're mentioning mikvah tonight, are you talking about the body of water that the Jews go in? Are you talking about a real mikvah?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Should talk about a fake mikvah for.
You got to put a plate, a jar, a dish, or that in a mikvah? Who ever heard of that?
Everyone's
Nobody in my everyone. Neighborhood, of all the religious Jews in New York, grew up.
So you don't keep kosher then?
We were plenty close.
You did not see that?
Everything was in walking distance. We had one on this block, one on that block, one on this block, one on that block.
So you don't show me your dishes now?
Okay, 1 second.
But nobody ever had the argument over, is that cup kosher enough? Was it put in the mikveh, this knife, this fork?
How do you know?
I don't know.
How do you know?
I don't know. I never learned.
They told me.
I don't know.
The guys that you grew up with on the Lower East Side.
Yeah.
They told me they put the stuff in the mikveh.
Yeah,
early,
sure.
Early morning.
Sure.
Early morning.
Yeah. And the Chicago White Sox didn't want to sign you up to play second base. Right?
Correct. Okay. So now the Gemara says, "Hava le'eva." There'll be hatred between the Amoritz and the Chavedim if the Chava will not accept the Hegdish from the Amoritz. So the Gemara says, then Truma Nami Havale Eva. So then the same problem will be by Truma. Because if the Talmud Chacham will not accept Truma from an Amoritz, he's going to get angry at him. So the Gemara says, no. Le'eva says that the Amoritz doesn't care. Why? He'll give it to an Amoritz as a Kohen. In other words, the Gemara says like this. And this is very interesting. The Gemara says we don't want to cause fights between Jews. If you cause fights between Jews, they will end up doing terrible things. Okay? If you throw away Jews, they will end up doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And you have to understand, at the time of the Gemara, there's a Gemara in Psachim that goes like 3 pages of Gemara discussing how terrible these Amoritzim are, and how you have to stay away from them. The Gemara in Pesachim, in the 4th Perek. The Gemara discusses over there pages and pages of, you're not allowed to talk to them, you're not to do business with them, you have to get away from them. Obviously today it doesn't apply, because then today you'll turn them off completely from Yiddishkeit, which is halachically forbidden today.
Does that happen on second,
whatever. All the Chlal, it doesn't apply today to the Amoritz. Today, the people just don't know anything about Yiddishkeit, not the pshat, they're not interested, they didn't learn, they just never had the opportunity to grow up to learn. So the Gemara says like this, what we're afraid is, an Amoritz is going to see things and do it wrong. And therefore, even though when you're talking about scholars, we're not afraid of it, because scholars will know what's right and they'll do what's right, but we're afraid that an Amoritz will see something that a scholar does. He won't understand the way the scholar is doing it, that the scholar is doing it correctly, and what's going to happen, he's going to end up doing it wrong. So the Gemara says like this, Truma, it's kosher, it's such an immersion. Why? Because we're talking about scholars. Scholars are not going to do anything wrong. So the Gemara says, but the Amoritz is going to do something wrong, and he's going to give it to a scholar. So the Gemara says, a scholar is not going to take Truma from an illiterate. Because the scholar knows that the illiterate is not careful in the laws of Truma, by Truma, and he's not going to want to take Truma from an illiterate. Hegdish, though, we have no choice. We have to take it from them. Why? Because Truma, the Amaret has an option. The scholar doesn't want to take his Truma, I'll give it to another Amaret, another Kohen who's an Amaret Hakim, a buddy of his. Hegdish, what did. Hegdish, you're talking about the Beis HaMikdash. What are you talking about? That he'll give it to a literate Hegdish? You can't do that. So by Hegdish, we're stricter. Because Hegdish, we're afraid of Amaratzim coming along and misinterpreting the halacha. By Truma, we're not afraid of it. Because the scholars don't associate themselves with the Amaratzim. And this halacha was set for the scholars. So we're not afraid, and Amaretz is going to end up doing something wrong to a scholar because of it. Either going to hate you if you refuse to take the Truma. The Gemara says they're not going to hate you. Because they'll give it to a friend. If you don't want to take it, I'll give it to somebody else. But Hegdish, there is no somebody else to give it to. So over there, the Chacham said, now that you're talking with the illiterates are involved in Hegdish, we can't allow such an immersion to be good. Truma, we're allowing it to be good because Truma, we're talking about scholars, and scholars know what they're doing.
I'm sorry, Rabbi, just to clarify something. We're talking about Toivlin. What are we talking about? Toivlin what? Exactly. Are we talking about a specific item, or are we talking about
two pots together?
A pot in a pot. Uh-huh. For Hegdish is no good. For Truma, it's good. Oh. Now, the Gemara is saying, what's the difference between Truma and Hegdish? Truma is trying to figure out why, because if it's a chatzitza, if it's not good, it shouldn't be good for both. If it's good, it should be good for both. So Gemara says like this. The truth is, it's not good. But when a scholar is getting such a vessel, that was immersed a vessel in a vessel, the scholar knows it's not good. So what's he going to do? He's going to re-immerse it. The scholar knows it's not good. Because they're touching each other. And it's going to be a chatzitza. So what are we afraid of? Why by Truma is it good? If a vessel is immersed in a vessel. Because if a scholar gets it, he's going to know that was a problem in the immersion. And he's going to redo it just to make it 100% kosher. By Hegdish, we're afraid an illiterate is going to see you do it. And he's going to think, oh, if they do it, then it's probably good. Okay, and they're going to do it. And it's not really good. What's going to happen? There's going to be a lot of problems. So the Gemara says, what's the difference between Truma and Hegdish? Truma, we're not afraid a scholar is going to get wronged by it. Because a scholar knows the halacha, and the Amaretz will not give him his Truma anyway. He's not going to give him his Truma anyway. Because the scholar won't take it from the Amaretz. So we're not afraid. There's no association between the illiterates and the scholars. By Hegdish, you have no choice. And in fact, the Gemara says, here. Okay, and then the Gemara continues and says like this. Uman Tana, which Tana holds Chayish Le'eva, that we're concerned with hatred between Jews. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yesi is Rabbi Yesi. Why? Tanya, we learned in a braisa, Amr Rabbi Yesi said, Mipnei, what's wrong?
You're looking for the wrong shul.
No.
Down the street.
Not the wrong shul. There's only one shul. They're looking for the wrong place.
Down the street.
The Tanya, because Rabbi Yesi said, Mipnei, Mahakol, Namonim, Altaris, Yayin, Vishemin, Kol, Yimei, Sashana. Why is everybody believed on the purity of wine and oil for Kabbanis an entire year, even in Amaretz, meaning as follows. Rabbi Yesi said a statement. In the olden times, people brought gifts to the Beis HaMikdash. Oil, wine, right? To pour oil on the Mizbeach. Wine offering, oil offering. The din was, a guy brings a jug of oil to the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen took it and did whatever he had to. The question is, maybe it's Tomei. Maybe the Amaretz was not careful in the laws of purity, and the oil is Tomei. How could you take it and put it on the Mizbeach? The answer is, he's believed. So Rabbi Yehuda says, why should he be believed? Why is he believed? So he says, Kadesh lo yayeh kol echad ve'echad. Heilech ubein abama la'atzmei, that not every person should go and build a bama, an altar for himself, v'seirev pot aduma la'atzmei, and go burn the red heifer for himself. Meaning as follows. There's a concept called a bama. Until the first Beis HaMikdash was built, if a Jew wanted to bring a sacrifice, he was able to build an altar in his backyard and bring korbanos. He was able to do it, no problem. Once the first Beis HaMikdash was built, the Torah says, no more bamis, no more altars. You want to bring a korban? Only in the Beis HaMikdash. That's it. Nowhere else. In fact, the whole Gemara discusses the famous story of Eliyahu and Har HaKarmel, when, you know, he was fighting with the prophets of the Baal, and they said, okay, whichever brings a fire from heaven is the real God. So that everybody, the Gemara asks, it was after the Beis HaMikdash was built, how did Eliyahu build a bama in who knows where? So the Gemara says, God told him, he was a Navi, God said, this is an exceptional case, build a bama. But once the Beis HaMikdash was built, you can't build a bama. You only could bring a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? So the Rabbi Yosi says a very interesting concept. If a guy comes to the Beis HaMikdash with a jug of oil as a korban, Rabbi Yosi said, then was he accepted it? He says, why? He has no trust. The answer is, Rabbi Yosi says, because if you don't let him bring it, you know what he's going to do? He's going to say, the heck with you. He's going to want to give God a gift. He's going to build a bum in his backyard and start bringing korbanos in the backyard. Mm-hmm. So Rabbi Yosi says, you know what? Let's not get out of hand here. Let's keep the Jews together. Let's accept it. Which is a very interesting concept. According to Rabbi Yosi, if we're going to reject it, you're causing a more serious transgression. It's the concept of a doubt, or let's put it this way, a definite outweighing a doubt. When an Amoritz comes with a jug of oil, is it for sure Tameh? It's not for sure Tameh. Maybe he's not Tameh. Maybe he was careful. It's a doubt. Similar to what we learned before in the Gemara, there's a concept called demai. Demai is the grain of an Amma Aretz. Okay, demai, the Gemara says two words, da mai. This, what is it? If an Amma, you come to an Amma Aretz, not nowadays, we're complaining that it's a soul, but not in America. But let's say, in a country where you have laws of truma and maiser and all that stuff. You come to the house of an Amma Aretz, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to eat there without separating Maiser. Why? We don't know. Did he do it or didn't he do it? Then the Gemara says even more. Even if the Ma'aretz says to you, he did it. I separated the Maiser. The Gemara says, we don't believe him, except in Shabbos. We don't believe him, and you have to separate anyway. But it's a doubt. It's not for sure. Now the Gemara says, if on a doubt a guy is bringing a jug of oil, this Amoritz is bringing a jug of oil to the Beis HaMikdash, he wants to do something good, and you're going to throw him out on a doubt, maybe it's no good. So for that, you know what's going to happen? A worse problem is going to happen. He's going to go build their own Beis HaMikdash and burn their own Par Adumas and make a mess of Judaism. It's like interesting. When the Rebbe came out, you know, every time there's an Inyan of Kedusha, evil wakes up. When the Rebbe came out, before the Six Day War, Mifsa Tefillin, you know, put Tefillin on with people. So people that, for whatever reason it is, the Sultan dressed up in rabbinic garbs, and they started quoting halacha that you can't put on Tefillin with people in the street.
Who said that?
Let's not discuss which group they came from. Now, they look religious. Now, What was some of the problems they said? What were the issues they said?
It's unclean.
They're unclean. And they said, if you have thoughts about women, you can't put on tefillin. And all this stuff. So, the Rebbe, when he answered, one by one, the Rebbe answered all the complaints and made fools out of them, basically. But the Rebbe said, tefillin is a definite mitzvah. Whether or not the guy has foreign thoughts, that's a doubt. So you're going to say a doubt. Maybe. Maybe. And the Rebbe said, the Rebbe's a very practical man, the Rebbe said even more, he said, trust me, when you stop a guy in the street and you put tefillin on with him, do you think at that time he's thinking about women? But at that time he's thinking, what am I doing, this crazy thing on my head, on my hand? He's not thinking about anything but the tefillin because it's something new for him. But what's the concept over there? You're taking away a definite mitzvah because of a doubt. And this is what Rabbi Yossi's concept over here is of Eva. Rabbi Yossi's concept of Eva is that whether the Amoritz is Tomei or not is a doubt. Throw him out, don't let him bring a korban, he's going to make his own Beis HaMikdash. By Truma, the Gemara says we don't care. Why by Truma don't we care? Because if the Chaver is not going to take it from him, he'll go find a Kohen who's an Amoritz, and he'll give it to him, won't be any problems. He's not going to get angry. He said, okay, you don't want it. You don't want my gift. I'll give it to somebody else.
Why would we tell him the wrong halacha in the first place?
Which wrong halacha?
He said that it really is a chatzitza, so it's not correct.
We're not telling you. The question over here, the Gemara says, if for a Chaverim, you could say that the immersion is good because he's going to redo it anyway. So you could do it like that.
Well, it's not really good, but you're telling the Amoritz.
It's a doubt. Again, is it for sure no good? Is it for sure water didn't get there? It's possible. And then there's also dinim involved in chatzitza. If it's over majority of the vessel, minority of the vessel, if you care about it, you don't care about it. There's a lot of leniencies in it. But the chav is going to redo it anyway.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Gentlemen.
No, talk to me.
Okay, now I want you all to hear this, because in the 30s, after World War II...
It's wasting time from learning.
No, it's only going to take me 20 more seconds. There were Jews who couldn't afford a pair of tefillin. They couldn't afford a tefillin. And there are Jews and rabbis that loaned them the tefillin.
Very good.
They davened in the street. You davened in your house. Don't whenever start. You got done, and you knew you got to meet Jackie or Willie or Sammy.
Okay. Amr, a papa said, the Gemara comments on this concept. Kaman mekalina idna sadusim yamaoritz. With whom do we accept today the opinion that we accept testimony from even from yamaoritz? Kaman krabiesi. In other words, when yamaoritz testifies, we accept the testimony today. Why? Because if you don't, they're going to cause a fight and strife between Jews. So therefore we accept the testimony. Unless, if you know for sure, they're wicked people. You know, it's very interesting, when the Mi Yehudi came up, the law of return, or who's a Jew, who's not a Jew, and the Rebbe said, conversion has to be kalacha. Conversion has to be done according to halacha. And if not, it's worthless. So then, for lack of better names, I'm going to use names, the conservative and reform were coming out and saying, oh, they don't accept us as Jews. The Rebbe never said we don't accept conservative and reform Jews as Jews. They're 100% Jewish. What the Rebbe said is, if you do a conversion not according to halacha, that person that is not Jewish. But they took it to mean, oh, you're telling us conservative and reformed Jews are not Jews. It's the way that was mistaken, and the whole balagan came out of it. But the Rebbe never said. The Rebbe never said a conservative Jew is as Jewish as the most Orthodox Jew. If his mother is Jewish, he's 100% Jewish. Okay, so now the Gemara says, "Venecha shel shaila." Let's be afraid, maybe, that the Amoritz is going to immerse the vessel in a vessel, and he's going to lend it to a Chacham. The Chaver might borrow the vessel from the Amoritz, and if he borrows the vessel from the Amoritz, he might use it, but it's really Tomei, but he's going to think that the guy immersed it, and it's not Tomei. So the Gemara says, the Tanan, where do we see that we're afraid of somebody borrowing something? It says, the Tanan, Kli Cheres Matzal Al Akil Divrei Beishamai. A Kli Cheres protects everything. This I'm going to have to spend probably the rest of this year just explaining this first din. With a brief introduction, the laws of purity and impurity don't make sense, period. That's it. Don't even think about it. They don't make sense. A normal vessel that's not made out of cheres, earthenware, which includes china, porcelain, you know, any of the earthenware materials, clay, if this is a vessel, let's say it's metal, and you touch it on the outside, the vessel becomes tamei, and everything in the vessel becomes tamei. If this is tamei, and you stick it inside the vessel, but you don't touch the vessel, the vessel does not become tamei. If you touch it from the outside, it's tamei. You don't touch it in the inside, it's not tamei. Okay? Cheres is just the opposite. If you touch an earthenware vessel from the outside, nothing inside becomes tamei. That means, if you have a sealed earthenware container, and something tamei touches it on the outside, the vessel is not tamei, and everything in it is not tamei.
It's sealed.
If it's sealed.
Nothing's
but if you touch it in the inside, you take the tumah and just go inside, even though you don't touch the actual vessel, you just put it inside, everything's tummy.
How is it sealed?
No, I'm saying if it's not sealed.
I thought you just said it's not tummy.
I'm saying if it's sealed and you touch on the outside,
right, it doesn't become tummy.
Nothing inside becomes tummy, the keli doesn't become tummy.
If you uncover it and you just stick the thing inside,
then it becomes tummy, but not from the outside.
I thought you just said before, if it doesn't touch the walls of the inside, it doesn't become tummy.
Correct.
So how does
By metal.
By metal. Oh, and then we're talking
by about... Cheres is just the opposite. Okay? That's din number one. Din number two, and really one is connected to the next. If you have a corpse in this room, God forbid, in this room,
Chalila.
Everything that's under the same roof is tamei. Okay? Everything in this room would be tamei. If you have a roof and the second floor, nothing on the second floor would become tamei. Because the roof stops the tumah. What happens if you have a hole in the roof? There's a hole in the ceiling. The din is the tumah goes up to the second floor. The tumah goes up to the second floor.
How big of a hole?
Whatever. I mean, it has to be a certain size. Now, what happens if the hole is blocked? There's a hole in the roof, but you stick in a metal container to close the hole. The din is, the tumah keeps going. Why? Because the vessel becomes tamei, and therefore there's nothing stopping the tumah, it just keeps going. If you close it up with an earthenware container, because cheres cannot become tamei from the outside, right? So therefore it stops the tumah. And the tumah cannot go to the second floor. So if you have a hole between the floors, the tumah goes up. If it's blocked by metal or glass or any of those types of containers, the tumah goes up anyway. If you have an earthenware container, because earthenware can become tamei from the outside, it blocks the tumah and the tumah doesn't go up to the second floor.
Rabbi, chalila.
Yeah.
Chash v'shulam.
No.
That we should never have live to say this. We're davening mincha ma'ariv, or you're davening shachris and moshav.
And all to, of a sudden, answer the question. Kohenim got to run out.
No. Wait. I'm not mentioning the names. But one of the people that's davening with, you know, with the minion dies. So all of a sudden we're all tuma?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Kainim have to run out. Kainim not allowed to become, they have to run out.
Too late?
Huh? Well, they're anus. I mean, not, as long as they're running out, it's not a problem. Usually what they do, you should know. I'll tell you what they really do in halacha. No, you have to, what you have to do, what they do is, they don't pronounce the person dead until all the kohanim leave.
Only the kohanim have to run out of the shul?
Yeah.
That's right.
You ever go into a mortuary?
I've been to so many funerals.
I know. You ever been in a mortuary with a dead body?
No. Well, I've seen, you know, dead bodies.
And you on the same roof under them?
Same roof.
So then you're
tummy. Open caskets,
then you're
closed tummy. Caskets.
Open casket against halacha. But it's you tummy.
Closed caskets still?
What?
Closed casket is still tummy?
Yeah, but the problem is that in order for the tumma to stop,
you wash your hands, right?
In order for the tumma to stop, you need at least a tefach of empty space. That means if there's a dead body in this room, chasva chalir, chasva whatever he said, the tumma, because there's space for the tumma to go, and then the roof stops it, the tumma stops. But if the room is cluttered all the way to the top, and there's no empty spaces, and there's a dead body in the room, the tumma keeps going. Because in order to stop tumma, you need an empty space of a tefach, where like the tumma could go and then stop. But if the tumma had no place to go, it's going to keep going. So caskets don't. Yeah, but they normally would. That's the whole issue. If they take a dead body to Israel on a plane, can a crane fly on a plane?
And the whole airport is tummy when the plane.
Whatever. But over there, there's separation.
How would a Cohen know right. He can't fly in a plane? How would a Cohen know if he flies on a plane and it happens to be a dead body on a plane?
How? The question is, does a crane have to ask, is there a dead body on the plane?
It's in the basement.
Okay.
It's covered, it's boxed in.
So, yeah, if you have a morgue in a basement, the problem is, what's the problem with morgues in a hospital for Koyanim? Because if there are doorways that are open, and then the tumma can go up, so when the door opens, the tumma goes up.
Sound like an elevator?
If there's a place for tumma to escape, again, it's all spiritual, illogical. Hello. But if the tumma, like you said, if the roof is here, so and there's a tefach in between the mess and the ceiling, so obviously the tumma stops at the ceiling. Okay? But if you have a coffin that's closing a dead body, there's no tefach between the dead body and the top of the coffin. So therefore, the top of the coffin doesn't stop the tumma.
There's no tefach between the dead body and the
no, it closes.
Rabbi.
And then, for instance, you have the same din. If you have a tree, let's say, here's a cemetery, yeah, and here's the street, and you have a tree that's going either way. Let's say the tree is here, but the branches go over the cemetery and over the street. So a kohen cannot walk under those trees, even outside of the cemetery, because it's the same tent as the dead body is. And when they fill up the grave, it's filled all the way to the top. So there's no tefach. So the tumma is going to go up to the roof, which is the tree, and then the branches of the tree are going to carry the tumma through the extension of the branches. The extension of the branches is going to carry the tumma, so Cain cannot walk underneath it. What? Here goes.
I'm going to leave with this statement.
Just leave.
God shall upheat. God should forbid and never let this happen. And for all of you here.
Thank you, Father.
For all of you here, God shall upheat and something bad should happen to you. Okay?
Thank you.
I get the nacht, I get
you.
Get
the nacht, So over there, the tomb is going to carry. So, again, we're going to stop. But Beit Hillel says, that a kli cheres, this earthenware china vessel that blocks the tumah, that will not carry the tumah up. So this is Beisul, says protects everything. Beshami says it only protects food and drinks, but cheres and nothing else. So everything is going else is gonna become tummy. In other words, when a cheres blocks the tumah from going up, so Beisul says it blocks it completely. Beshami says it only blocks food and earthenware vessels. But anything that's upstairs, that's metal, is going to become tamei. And the Gemara Beisil says to Beishami, why? And the answer, he says, but why? But the answer is, you know.
But the gaskets are cement.
So no, they're not.
Earthenware.
Wood.
No, but the outside, to put the wood inside the cement one.
No.
It blocks the cement.
It's going to go through anyways.
Cement is earthenware, no?
Cement is earthenware.
But you still need
so I should stop it. So how does it think in a ceiling will stop it?
First of all, you might have a point in California. In New York, they don't use those cement things. In New York, they don't have those cement things at all. The cement thing might stop it if there's a tefach between the casket and the cement top, which probably there is, then it might stop it.
Once they take them out to go out, then everybody's going to get it, right?
No, he's saying today when they bury the person, they put him in a wood coffin in a cement
box.
So the question, does cement then stop? I don't know, it could be it will stop it. But that's only in California where they use these. The other cities, they don't do it. Even in California, not all places do it. Just the flat ones, the flat cemeteries, you know, not the. And it's a very interesting Gemara coming up. Beishami, Rabbi Yeshua said to Beishami, "You're embarrassing me. I'm embarrassed from you." And then. The rabbi explained Beishami to logic to Rabbi Yeshua. He did so much fasting, his teeth turned black. And that rabbi calls this Gemara in Tanya.